This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick, in for John Hockenberry today. Thank you so much for listening. And here is a very giddy House Speaker Paul Ryan in Washington yesterday afternoon.
The president just came here and knocked the ball out of the park. He knocked the cover off the ball in explaining to our members how it's important to unify, how it's important to work together, how we are advancing our principles and we are doing what we told the American people we would do. This is our chance and this is our moment. It's a big moment. And I think our members are beginning to appreciate just what kind of a rendezvous with destiny we have right here.
A rendezvous with destiny and an allusion to Casey at the bat from Paul Ryan there. He's very optimistic sounding, the speaker is, responding to President Trump's visit to Capitol Hill on Tuesday. More optimistic maybe than he is in private. And that's because the American Health Care Act, otherwise known as the repeal and partial replacement of Obamacare, is, as of now, short of the 216 votes that it's going to need to pass the House. The critical vote is supposed to be tomorrow, but this bill was panned by Republicans across the spectrum the day it was introduced. Hence, the presidential lobbying visit where Donald Trump reportedly and jokingly threatened to go after Republicans who voted against that bill. But it also means that Republican leaders are now doing the thing that they scorched Democrats for in 2009. Old-fashioned deal-making, adding goodies to this bill to try to get their own party to pass it. So can they get there? We'll talk about that in a few minutes and look at some of the vote counts. But first, let's look at the changes Republicans are trying to make to their Obamacare repeal to get it over the line. Margo Sanger-Katz is healthcare correspondent for The New York Times. Welcome, Margo.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So as we've heard, Republicans are busy trying to take things away and pile things onto this bill to get it to 216. What's been going on?
So they made a whole bunch of changes to the original bill through what's called a manager's amendment, and that came out on Monday night. And one of the things that I think is really interesting about the kind of group of changes that they made is that you can see almost all of them are designed to try to persuade various groups of Republican congressmen who have been reluctant to vote for the bill to perhaps come on board.
Okay, well, let's take the conservatives. What do they want? What are they getting now?
To please them, there were some changes that were made to the Medicaid program, and they also changed some of the taxes in the bill so that there are some tax cuts that come in right away as opposed to next year, which was how they would have worked in the original version.
So we've already heard in the original version that Republicans, and this is a longtime dream of Paul Ryan, basically want to turn Medicaid into a block grant system. That's still in there, but they've made some deeper cuts now to Medicaid, essentially, to get right-wing conservatives on board.
So what the original version of the American Health Care Act did is it changed the nature of the program rather substantially and said, instead of just paying a percentage of all these medical bills, what the federal government will do instead is they will give a state set payment for each person who signs up for the program. But some conservatives in the House didn't feel that that went far enough because there still are a whole lot of federal rules that apply to what states can do with that money. And so what this new version of the bill would do is it would give states a different option. Instead of getting this per-person payment, they could just get one big block of money from the federal government, and then they could use that money to take care of the people in their Medicaid program with a lot fewer restrictions. So the state would have less money, probably, but it would have more flexibility to decide who gets to be in Medicaid and what kinds of benefits would they get. I think it's very clear that this bill overall will make substantial cuts to Medicaid over the long run. A lot of funding will be cut from states, and the Congressional Budget Office, when it made its assessment of the effects of this bill, estimated that quite a lot of states actually might stop covering that population because they couldn't afford to make up the difference.
Okay, so fairly deep cuts to Medicaid. That's something conservatives want. And when they get that, moderate Republicans, even though there aren't that many of them left in the House, they balk. They don't want Medicaid cut as much, and they start to head for the door. So what do moderates get now?
So moderates don't get a lot in this particular set of revisions, but they do get sort of a little placeholder provision that I think is designed to give them some hope that maybe the Senate will do something to allay their fears. What several moderates have been concerned about is the part of the bill that provides tax credits to help more middle-income people buy insurance. Under Obamacare, there was a system where the tax credit you would get to buy insurance would be based on how much insurance cost in your area and what your income was. What the Republican plan does is it changes that formula and it says people would get basically a flat tax credit. And what estimates from the Congressional Budget Office showed is that that system turned out to be really inadequate, particularly for older people and for lower income people, because the gap between the tax credit and the actual cost of insurance was so enormous that many people would not be able to afford insurance. And the CBO provided one example that has really stuck in a lot of people's minds. For older person, someone in their 60s who earned about $26,000, their health insurance would cost about $14,000. They would only get a $4,000 tax credit under this plan. So it's hard to imagine someone like that being able to come up with, you know, half of their income to pay for health insurance. And this amendment doesn't actually target any money directly towards these people, but it creates a new tax deduction that will cost a certain amount of money. And it's seen as a signal that maybe the Senate could use that money in a different way to help those people.
So Margo Sanger-Katz, there are some of the changes as Republican leaders try to get 216. But let's draw a big bottom line under the American Health Care Act here. If this version were to pass, it does mean many millions of more Americans without health insurance, right?
Absolutely. So the Congressional Budget Office said 24 million more Americans would be without health insurance in 10 years. That was before these new changes were proposed. It's a little bit hard to know exactly what these changes will mean, but my sort of back of the envelope suggests that actually it will mean that fewer people would have health insurance at the end of a decade than that.
Margo Sanger-Katz, healthcare correspondent for The New York Times. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much.
So we just heard about all the deal-making Republican leaders are going through to try to get their Obamacare repeal passed in the House. There are lots of complicated Medicaid and tax formulas for sure, but one formula is very simple here, 216. Democrats are not voting for this bill, so the question is, can House Republicans get to 216? Congressman Leonard Lance is a Republican. He's from New Jersey's 7th District. He was one of 16 House Republicans who met with the president as he lobbied Capitol Hill yesterday. Congressman, how do you feel? Are you a yes here?
I'm a no. I'm not voting for the bill, and I think that the bill needs significant work, and I will not be voting for the bill.
So you're a solid no, not what Paul Ryan wants to hear. Why? Why are you a no?
I do not think the bill moves in the direction to make sure that the American people can have affordable health care. And I want to see legislation that permits the purchase of policies across state lines, small business pooling, and medical malpractice reform. And none of that is contained in this bill.
Now, Republican leaders say you're going to get all those things, Mr. Lance. You just have to wait for another bill to come along. It can't go on this bill, but don't worry. You'll get those things.
I think that we should make sure that we get those things. And, of course, that requires a cooperation with Democrats, including in the Senate, because of the filibuster in the Senate, the 60-vote rule to achieve cloture. And I would encourage Democratic colleagues to step up to the plate, because the legislation needs to be improved. And I think Democrats should work with us on those matters that I have discussed. The exchanges are failing, or at least are in serious trouble in many parts of the country, particularly in rural America, where in some places there is only one insurance option. And certainly we need to improve that system.
So, Congressman, what has it been like? You've been watching Republican leaders, of course, come up with Medicaid cuts that the conservatives really want, some goodies for your neighbors in New York, a parochial issue that we just heard about. You've watched all of this deal-making go on. Do you think it gets there?
I'm not counting heads in this regard, but I know what I'm going to do, and I hope that we make sure that the substantive issues are addressed, as I have suggested. I think that it's important that there be reform so that as many Americans as possible have the opportunity to have health care coverage access and actual health care coverage at an affordable rate.
Well, we are talking about lots of policy, and that's really important. And I know members of Congress are talking about that, too. But we got to talk about the politics here, because it's critical. You have a president of your party who's, well, about 42% or 43% approval, and lots of town hall meetings where constituents have come out yelling at members of Congress like you about their health care. Listen to this. This is one of your town halls, Congressman.
I want to assure the public that the majority in each house of the federal Congress I believe, will make sure that these provisions continue.
Now, there is some yelling in the background there. Congressman, it's not often that constituents come out and get in the face of people like you over an issue they really care about. The pressure's on here.
I was, I believe, among the first members of Congress to hold town hall meetings. I did this when we were in our districts during President's Week in February. I held two town hall meetings, 1,400 at the first and 900 at the second, and I tried to be as responsive as possible, and I listened to all constituents, regardless of whether they may or may not be supporting me. And the conversation was vigorous. I certainly tried to explain my position. I think I was discussing the fact that I favor making sure there's no denial of coverage based upon a pre-existing condition. Young people can stay on their parents' policies until they're 26. No lifetime caps. I believe that was probably the matter I was addressing based upon your clip.
The political watchers in Washington consider you one of the vulnerable Republicans in 2018. And I know that you're just trying to do the right thing here by your constituents, Congressman, but the political pressure is real here. Are you one of the people who are worried that the politics of Obamacare repeal could be a political problem for you?
I always vote my conscience, and I think in 2017 we should be discussing governance. 2018 will take care of itself. This is not an election year. I was honored to be reelected by 38,000 votes in the district I represent. Secretary Clinton did carry the district. She carried the district by roughly 3,500 votes. I significantly outran President Trump. I take nothing for granted, and I try never to be boastful. I am honored to serve the district. I think 2017 should be a year, Todd, when Republicans and Democrats come together to reform the health care policies that are not working for so many millions of Americans across the country.
Well, the House is striving to make policy in 2017 ahead of 2018 that will be political. Congressman Leonard Lance, a Republican of New Jersey, is a solid no on this bill, and that is not music to the ears of Paul Ryan or President Donald Trump. Congressman Leonard Lance, thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.